Good morning.
Good morning.
What a pleasure to be with you today. I really have enjoyed the worshiping together and the children's sermon and all of it. My name is Eric Gundy, and I'm here with my wife, Kathy. My mom, Beverly, is sitting in the front row cheering me on. And I'm also here with some of my other family, and we have the son of one of our colleagues, Stephen Stosher, is there with us as well. He's a student at Wheaton College, and so he's going to be going there today. So we had the pleasure of having him with us a couple days. So let's pray together. Father, we just thank you for this time that we can share, open your word together. We thank you, Father, for that you speak to us, that you reveal yourself to us, and we trust you to do that by your Spirit today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the question today is, do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Do you know about Jesus, but do you know Jesus? And I would say that in our passage, we watch in a way how Peter goes from somebody who knows about Jesus to somebody who really knows Jesus. And that's the question that Jesus asks of his disciples at that time, and it's the one that he asks all of us to answer. I'm a missionary in Albania, and I was asked if I wanted to share about the ministry or if I wanted to preach, and I said I want to preach because I don't want to talk about myself. I want to talk about Jesus. My favorite subject, hopefully all of our favorite subjects, talk about Jesus. So I remember my Sunday school teacher telling me that Jesus is on every page of this book. And I had some teachers in seminary who wanted to tell me different, but I'm here to say my Sunday school teacher was right. He's on every page of this book. And it's a joy to talk about him, a joy to learn more about him. So one of the things we do is we have a Torchbearer Bible School in Albania, and we have students who come from all over the world. We have Albanian students, American students, Canadian, German. And one of the things we do with them when they first get to our school is we take them to a big cave that's about, an hour from our place, and it's a big cave, and it's an impressive cave. It's not anything maybe, it's not been developed at all, and so it's very raw and uncared for, but I'll just describe it to you. You take it, you have to swim. The first thing you have to do is you have to swim from here to about the narthex there in some murky, muddy water. So you're swimming in this murky water. You get to the other side, you get out, and you have some really tight spots you have to squeeze through. You have some cathedrals that are maybe twice as big as this sanctuary, beautiful place. The whole time you're walking in knee-deep, murky water, and only some of us have headlamps. It helps for teamwork. So you stay close to each other, because the people with the lamps are really popular. So I won't tell you about the spiders and the bats. Just adds to the charm. So you get done, and you get all the way to the end, and it's about a 45-minute journey, and you're about a mile deep into the tunnel. And then we just turn all the lights off. And we say, okay, now, get back on your own. No, we don't say that. So you're in this deep, deep darkness. And I just want to use it right now as an illustration that our world is in deep spiritual darkness. And people around us are in deep spiritual darkness. And they're lost. They don't know the way out. They don't know the Lord. If we don't take the light to them, if we don't take the message that we're going to talk more about today to them, then we're not doing what Christ called us to do. So we live in a spiritually dark world. We were created, each one of us, for relationship with God. We know this. I'm going to say some things today you've heard. I know you've heard these things, but I get so encouraged by this, and I think we need to hear them day in and day out. We are created for a relationship. God wants a relationship with us. That's what he wants. That's what he did everything for, is to have a relationship with us. That's all he wants from you. He wants a relationship with you. He wants you to know him. But again, we have to talk about sin. Sin separates us from God. And we're born in sin, but also we, by our own choice, we continue in sin, and that sin separates us from God. Christ came into the world to remedy that. He came so that we could have a relationship with God. And that's really the message. It's a wonderful message of hope that we have in Christ, is that we can, through him, know God again. So I'm happy that we can talk about Jesus today. I'm going to try to do some, there we go. So this is our passage for today. Cindy read it this morning, and we're going to be looking at Matthew 16, 13 through 20, and it's a very famous passage, and there's lots of really good things here. Let's, if you have your Bibles, you can open them to page 1044, and I'll also have it up on the slide, and I'm just going to read the first part of this passage right now. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." So at the time that Jesus went with his disciples to Caesarea Philippi, this was a big question for people. Who is this Jesus? This passage is set in contrast to the one you looked at last week, where it was the Pharisees, and Jesus is having this conversation with them, and he says, you ask for a sign. You're the experts in the law. You should know the signs of the Messiah. You can tell the weather, but you can't tell the signs of Messiah, even when he's standing right in front of you, even when you see the signs. So they didn't accept Jesus as the Christ, as the promised Messiah. And that's the backdrop for what was happening. But the people, they saw his authority, they saw his miracles that he was performing, and they were asking themselves, who is this? Could this be the one? Could this be the Son of David that we've been waiting for all of our lives to come and to save us and rescue us? So the speculation was going crazy. Herod even got in on the conversation. He said, "It's John the Baptist, of course, because I killed him, and now he's coming back to haunt me." That was his theory, and so others were saying that as well. Some said it's Elijah. He was the prophesied one that would come before Christ, before the Messiah would come to be the forerunner, and so some thought it's Elijah. He's here to point the way to the Messiah. This is still a question in our world today. If you were to go, you could go online. I mean, many of us do. We go online, right? And ask the question, who is Jesus? Or if you went out into the streets, and I recommend this more, go out on the streets, talk to people here in Rolling Meadows or wherever you are, and say, who is Jesus? And you'll get one answer for every person you talk to. Some of those people will say, well, he was a good moral teacher. He was a good man. He's a great man. He started the Christian religion. Other people would say he's a prophet. Some people would say he's one of Vishnu's avatars, or he's one of the only truly enlightened human being that ever lived. People have all kinds of theories. In Albania, where we are, if you ask people on the street there, you'd hear some similar conversations. Some would say he's one of Allah's most important prophets. Others would say he's just a fairy tale, just a person that lived, but some people made up some stories about him. Some would say, or many would say, he's just one of the many ways to God. You've probably heard that one before. Most would just be unsure, and they would say, I don't really know, and I don't really think about it, if I'm honest. There would be some, gratefully today, who would say, I believe he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And for that, I'm grateful as well. So the confusion over Jesus exists here today, and that's why it's so important that we're willing to take this message into the world and to shine the light where God calls us to be. I'm sorry, is there a noise? Okay, don't worry about it. Okay, that's not me. Like one. Okay. But Jesus, so he had asked the question, who do people say I am? And now he goes a little deeper on his question. He says, but who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? So this goes really to the heart of the matter. It's not asking a theoretical question, what do they believe? What do they say about Jesus? Now it's getting more personal. And he says, what do you say? Who do you say I am? And I think so you might know that, you may not know, our torchbearer center in Erseke, Albania is called Crossroads, or Udhëkryqë. If you're wondering how to pronounce that name, have you ever seen that name, Udhëkryqë? It just means crossroads. And it's really a picture of what happens at our school and our camps and our center. It's a place where people come through and they we preach the gospel to them. We teach them from the Word of God, and from there they hopefully their direction in life is changed. There's a decision to be made at a crossroad. And that's what Jesus does, because right after this he's going to the cross. As you'll see in the weeks coming, he says, there's something I got to warn you about, guys, and that's that this is all heading to the cross. We're going to Jerusalem where the Son of Man will be sacrificed, will be crucified. And he wants them to know this right now, and he's asking this question for a reason. Who do you say I am? And this is a question we all have to answer. Every person is going to have to answer this question, who do you say I am, at some time? As scary or as difficult or dangerous as the misunderstandings of the world around us are about Jesus, sometimes even within the Christian fellowship, we have misunderstandings about who Jesus is as well. And when we were, this last spring, I had an opportunity to go with a team, and we went and we helped start a Bible school in Kenya, in Embu, Kenya. And while we were there, I met one of the pastors there, and he told me that the prosperity gospel had really devastated the church in Kenya. And he said it's because it's really a false Messiah, a false Jesus that they're teaching, and it's one who's more interested in my health, in my wealth, in my happiness than he is in my own eternal soul. And that's not the Jesus we meet in the Bible. And so that doctrine has really hurt the church in Kenya, because people are disappointed and they say, somehow this doesn't work for me. I don't have enough faith to make this work. And that's really unfortunate that people are still in darkness after meeting someone from a church. So I want to just talk a little bit about Jesus, who Jesus is. And I'm going to be telling you things you already know, but let's say amen to these things because they're encouraging. So who is Jesus? And I just want to say, we're going to be reading some scripture together here, but he's God in the flesh, the promised Redeemer sent to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. He was crucified, he died, he was buried, and then he rose again after 3 days. He ascended, and is in heaven right now at the right hand of the Father. He is the King of Kings, as we sang. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, whose reign will never end. This is the Jesus that we know. This is the Jesus that we worship. Thank you. All right. So, he's the one that we read about in Daniel chapter 7. He's the one that appeared before the Ancient of Days. I saw in night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like the Son of Man. He came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, and that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. This Jesus, he's the one of whom Gabriel spoke to Mary. And he said, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and we call the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Amen? Okay. And then at the end of the book, Revelation 11:15. And then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven, the kingdom of the world, saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Amen. So do you know this Jesus? And when I say, do you know him? He has made it possible for us to know him. And I just want to camp here for a few minutes, because we do not serve a God, or we do not know a God who made himself, kind of hid himself away and made himself difficult to know. He's done everything in his power so that we could know him. It's been his focus since the garden for us to bring us back to him, into fellowship with him. And I think sometimes we make it very complicated. It's not complicated. We make it complicated. Our God wants to know him. He revealed himself to us in his creation. He revealed himself to us through his word, through this book. He made himself known. And then he made himself known through the living word. When Jesus came in the flesh to dwell among us, we beheld his glory. We looked into the face of God, and we looked into the face of Jesus. He made himself known. He wants to be known by us. He wants fellowship with us. That's all he wants. We don't make it more complicated than that. That's what he wants from you today, is just to be with him. Just simply to be with him. So we can talk a lot about who Jesus is, but do you know him? That's the question today. Do you know him? There's more to this passage, so we're going to look at some more things. And I'm going to jump ahead, I think, two slides. Yep. So I'm just going to read this portion as well and just have a few things to say about it. There's some really interesting things in here, really interesting things. And I think it's interesting, but I don't want to get lost in the curiosities, but it's a very interesting passage. So let's read. I'll read this out loud. You can read it on there. It's also on page 1045 in your in your pew Bibles. And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly charged his disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. I think we've all heard jokes or stories where it starts off with someone dies and goes to heaven, and they come before the pearly gates, and there's Peter. And Peter has in his hands the keys, right? Have you ever heard a joke like that? I kind of have a good one. If ask me later. I won't tell it now. We've all had that. That's kind of the picture. I think people have read this. Somebody read this and just said, this is what's going on here. It's like Peter at the pearly gates, and he's kind of saying, okay, you can come in, you not so much. And that's kind of how we've pictured this passage. So what's happening here? Is that what's going on here? Is this about Peter? Is this really about Peter? So just a few thoughts. Here, Peter is, the word that Jesus uses for Peter is Petros, and that means little stones, like gravel. So gravel, you know, you're Peter, you're gravel, and on this Petra, this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So when you think about it, really, if you look into it, I don't want to take a long time here, but really what Jesus is saying is Jesus is going to build his church. He says, I will build my church. And Peter, what Peter said is the key. It was not revealed to you by flesh and blood. This was revealed to you by my Father in heaven. So again, I'm just going to say, God has made himself known. He has revealed himself to you. He's revealing himself to you right now. And you're at a crossroad moment. You're at a moment where you make the choice. You make a choice. If you're going to follow, if you're going to believe or not. I think Peter at this point, maybe before this moment, he wasn't even sure himself. I feel like he kind of goes from, I know Jesus, I am with him every day, to now I really know Jesus. I really know him. I know who he is. I know experientially. I don't just know intellectually, but I know experientially who this is that I've been following. And so he's brought to that place by a revelation from the Father in heaven. I pray, Father, that you would reveal yourself to every person here in that way, that you would reveal who your son is. So I will build my church. So I think better the rock isn't necessarily just Peter. I think Peter represents all of us in a lot of ways, because that's us. We're Peter. God reveals himself to us. And when we get it, when we understand who he is, then we take that with us and we bring the light wherever we go. And that's where the gates of hell will not prevail against the church of God, church of Jesus. So Caesarea Philippi, it's interesting. Matthew notes the place. He doesn't always tell us where Jesus says the things he says. This time he tells us. He says this took place in Caesarea Philippi. One of the guys who comes and teaches in our Bible school, Kurt Schneck, he's an Austrian guy, and he takes students to Israel on tours, following the Bible, following the footsteps of Jesus. But I asked him one time, I said, what's your favorite place to take people in Israel? And he says, I love all the places, but really interesting to go to Caesarea Philippi because of this passage. And I have a photograph. It's not really a photograph. It's a depiction of what it might have looked like at the time Christ took his disciples there. I kind of cropped it a little too small here, but it's basically this big cliff, this big rock. So now, hear the words of Jesus once again. Peter, you're little gravel, but upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. These are all temples to foreign idols. Little niches in walls. If you go there today, the buildings aren't there, but the foundations are. And you can see all these niches carved into the rock where idols used to be placed. The one on your left there is the temple of Pan, the fertility god, where animal sacrifices, even infant sacrifices, were made. And it was called in ancient times the gates of the underworld. The gates of the underworld. So again, if you read this passage, Jesus is in Caesarea Philippi, and he's telling this story. He's telling his disciples, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against them. So I find that very, very, very significant that Matthew tells us where this was being taught. And also, I'm sure you've heard this, but I'll say it. Gates are not offensive, they're defensive, right? So the gates of hell, sometimes even when I think about this passage, I think, well, you know, hell's going to attack us. Hell's going to attack the church. But this is a picture of the church attacking the gates of hell. That's what this is. This is the church going and busting open the gates of hell. It's a picture of the light going into dark places and bringing the light where the only darkness has been. So the keys of the kingdom. This isn't just for Peter, this is for all of us. We know the key. We know Jesus. If we know Jesus, we have the keys to the kingdom. The kingdom of God is wherever the rule and reign of God exists. And that's where Jesus is. He'll reign forever and ever. And it's on his authority that we go and we take this gospel message into the dark places. It's in his name and in his authority, not in our own. So I just want to say one last thing about this passage, because in verse 20, in verse 20 it says, and he strictly charged his disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. So I just want to let you know that the expiration date has passed on this verse. So with his death, his resurrection, his ascension into heaven, this was for the time where they were saying, who is Jesus? And they weren't sure who the Messiah was. And they were looking for a Messiah who was going to be political, economical, military, and rescue them from the Romans. They weren't ready for the Jesus, the Messiah that was going to hang on a cross. And so Jesus says, you know, don't tell. But we've been told, it's very clear in Scripture, go tell everybody. Go tell everybody I'm the Christ. And so that's our call. Our call is to take this message to the world. And the gates of hell will not prevail. It will not be able to prevail against us. So I just want to take you once again into that dark cave where I left you. So we do turn off the lights. We warn them. We say we're going to turn off all the lights. And when you turn off the lights, you've heard this described. It's like dark as dark gets. You're a mile down into the ground, and it's pitch dark. And you think about all the things you would have to navigate to get out of there. Without light. And it's a time for us to reflect on the people around us that are living in darkness, that there's people who are in spiritual darkness around us and they don't know the way out. And our call as torchbearers, that's what we call that. Our Bible school is a torchbearer Bible school. We're called to bring light, but that's all of us. If you're a follower of Jesus, if you know who Jesus is, you carry the light in you. He lives in you. He lives through you, and when you go in, wherever you go, he's with you. And you bring that light wherever you go. You bring him wherever you go. And so we have that conversation, and we say there's people around us that need the light, and we need to run into the dark places of our world, and we need to bring the light of this message of who Jesus is, that he came so that we could know him. He came not to make us wealthy and happy, but he came to rescue us from our sin and to live inside of us so we could truly, truly walk as the people he created us to be, in fellowship with him, in fellowship with the Father. God has shed his light on us and rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the Son, into the light, the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. Just want to read one last verse together. This is from the time that Kathy and I went out to be on the mission field. This is our verse. This is our passage that is kind of our life passage for our mission out in Albania. And it's really appropriate to what we've been talking about today. For we preach, what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, "Light, let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. So do you know Jesus? It's one of the things that is the mission of this church is to help people to know, love, and become like Jesus. And helping people to know this Jesus, to know experientially, not just intellectually, to know on a heart level. But do you know him today? And where is God calling you to bring the light? Where are the dark places that God's calling you to take that light into today? So let's just pray together. Father God, thank you so much that you have revealed yourself to us. You've revealed yourself through your creation around us. You've revealed yourself through your word, where we can get to know you. And Lord, you've revealed yourself through your Son, who came and who made it possible for us to know you. And daily, you make yourself known through your Spirit who lives in us. And we just pray that you would help us to be truly torchbearers, to be those who bring the light into dark places. And Lord, it's not easy. And so we pray that you would give us courage. We pray that you would give us a firm confidence in who you are as we go and talk to people about you, as we go and shine the light. And we thank you. We thank you and praise you. In your name, Jesus. Amen.